his God and win. Nebuchadnezzar tried it. He challenged God. And he soon found that his furnace that was heated 7 times its normal heat was not able to consume a child of God because of the intervention of God himself. I'm sure you remember the story. Some 186,000 people, soldiers, were wiped out in a moment of time as they camped around the city of Jerusalem. It's believed then that this passage, this chapter, is a song of praise as Hezekiah and the people of Israel have just come through this tremendous time of blessing from God, this great victory, and they are rejoicing. They are singing praises unto the Lord. But as you read the chapter, it tends to also have a futuristic application or reference. It seems to be picturing also the millennial reign of Christ, when the people of God, namely the people of Israel, enter into that particular era, that utopian period, when God shall shower upon them blessings innumerable, when their loved ones will live for great ages, and when there will be plenty in the land, and there is going to be an extension of God's blessings that are going to be known by the people of Israel. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that righteousness will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so we know that the utopian age that is yet to come is going to be an extensive one, not just localized in Jerusalem. That's going to be the center. The throne is going to be there. Jesus is going to sit upon that throne, but his influence and the blessings from that little land shall be felt around the world. And as you read then these verses, it seems also to have a futuristic. But of course you would understand that our interest is for a present application, because we believe it is absolutely necessary for God's people to be able to apply the scriptures to them day by day. We need to be able to apply God's word in every circumstance, no matter what we are called to experience. We want to know that the word of God is relevant. Sometimes when we think of God, when we pray, we think God being way, way up there, far removed from us. It is true that he is in heaven, but the Bible tells us that he is with us too. He is in us, and he desires to be relevant in every experience of life. And so as we share together this evening briefly, we trust the Lord will encourage us. For that's my interest. My interest is that we be encouraged in the things of God. Now when we think of this passage, of course, we note verse 2, which says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." And although when we think of salvation, we tend, and rightly so, to make some application to the spiritual, initial spiritual deliverance in the life of each person, that is a salvation from the penalty of sin. But you will understand that that's not the kind of salvation here. The salvation here is victory in the believer's life. But perhaps there might be someone here that has a little doubt as to their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is a great provision by God for your soul's salvation. that you might know that you have eternal life. This is the only way you will enjoy it, if you know that you have it. Like I say to folk who say to me, well, I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying. I'm working towards it. I ask them, tell me how far have you got? Because you have to come to the point where you have got far enough and you can say you have it. Because if you never can say you have it, you'll never enjoy it. You will continue to work to get it. And God's desire is not that we work to get it, but that we believe and receive it and enjoy it. That's what it's all about. And revel in its blessings in our life. But if you don't know you have it, you won't enjoy it and you won't share it. I think one of the outstanding things about any person who is a Christian is talking about what they have in Christ, sharing their salvation. The least bit of doubt you might have about that, you will not share it. And so we want you to know that Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary that you might have eternal life. And the Bible says this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But when we think of this, we think of the fact that that is this chapter. We think of the fact that the Lord is many things to many people. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's the Word. He's a fortress. He's a shield and buckler. There are many things, and He's the Good Shepherd. And a lot of us, we revel in that truth. The Lord is my shepherd. Something personal and experiential about that. And day by day, we feel so close to the shepherd. God is our shepherd. But hearing these verses, it says, God is our strength, He's our song, and He's our salvation. God is my strength. He's what I need most in life. I need the power to fight as a believer. And so He is our strength. He is your strength as a Christian. He is my strength. But also it says He is my song. He is my song. You see, as we face the vicissitudes of life, as we face the battle, He is our song, and we can go forward with heaven's music ringing in our hearts. You see, when you go forth with heaven's music ringing in your heart, that bespeaks the fact of confidence. You remember Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat was to go against, I think it was, the Ammonites, a great company indeed that would have come up against the people of Israel led by Jehoshaphat. The first thing Jehoshaphat did was to select a choir. And a choir went before the army. Never was done before. We send the guns before the army and we keep the choir for later. So when the battle is won, the choir sings. But in that particular case, the choir went before. And as they went forward singing the song of God, there was great victory that was experienced. And then He is my salvation. And that speaks of daily victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I need then, by way of encouragement, is mentioned in verse 2. Let's look a little closer then at these verses as we continue to share together. Firstly, the Lord is my strength. Now the Christian life is a continual battle. Unless you realize that, Satan will trip you up. He'll overcome you, but if you realize that this life is a continual conflict, the Christian life is a continual conflict, therefore you must be continually alert. You must be continually aware of this and appropriate all that God has provided for us, that we might know victory as we move forward and do battle with the enemy. It's a fierce conflict, and our battle is with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me say, they don't let up. If they fail in one way, they try another way. But God has provided for our victory. The Bible tells us that He is our strength. When that Joshua was commanded by God to go over into the land of Canaan and divide the land among the people of God, God said to Joshua, be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. You see, he needed strength to face the task. The task demanded all that he could muster as he went over to meet the enemy, as he went over to do that great job as commanded by God. Thanks be unto God, we have the same provision made for us. We have the provision for this victory. God is our strength. For the believer today, the Holy Spirit who lives within us is our strength. When you come to Ephesians chapter 6:3 and verse 16, we read these words that are very applicable at this time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, and that he might reconcile both. Excuse me, that's not the verse. That's the verse, but I'm reading verse 16 of chapter 2, right. Verse 16 of chapter 3. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, he talks about this power that is for our spiritual benefit. And he says, the power that I'm talking about, Paul is praying, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that great power. And that's the strength, that's the power that's been provided for us, that we might be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are subtle powers. These are subtle powers. And we find them continually at work. But the Holy Spirit who lives within us is there to make sure that we have that which is necessary. John says in chapter 1, or rather chapter 4 of his first epistle, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so strength, we are strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit. This strength is continuous. In the book of Job, chapter 17 and verse 9, we read these words. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Ah, beloved, we may go from strength to strength. We may experience this continual strength, this continuous strength, as we appropriate God's provision through the Spirit who lives within us. Ephesians 6:10, of course, tells us concerning the fact we are strong in the Lord. Habakkuk tells us in chapter 3 verse 19 that God is our strength. And we're told in Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. And so the Lord is our strength. We could elaborate a little more, but time is hastening on, but also he is our song. He is our song. Some years ago, when I was living in Chicago, studying in Chicago, I should say, for some 5 years, there was a program that meant a whole lot to me as a young Christian. When I went to Chicago, Three things I did right out. The moment I got there, I endeavored to do. Number one, I looked for a church, an assembly, that I could get some spiritual help. I wasn't saved long, just a matter of weeks, really. I found that assembly. Then I bought a Scofield Bible, and I bought a radio. I found an assembly. I bought a Scofield Bible. I had a Bible, but I wanted a study Bible. That's why I stick with the Scofield, I guess, today. It's been a tremendous help in my young Christian life. And I got a radio. I wanted not to listen to the latest hits. I wanted to listen to Christian programs. And one of the programs that I got that was a blessing to me was entitled Songs in the Night. Coming from Western Chicago, Constant Spring. Oh, I can hear those, introduction song coming through so clearly and really blessing my heart. Songs in the Night. Well, here, in this particular chapter, verse 2, it says that the Lord is not only our strength, but also our song. He is our song in the experience of deliverance. Now, this is what being realized here in this chapter. They are singing because of deliverance. And it's easy to sing when you have been delivered, right? When blessings flow, oh yes, it's easy to sing. When the Israelites went across the Red Sea and got on the other side, Miriam took the timbrel and led some women in singing. Singing and dancing there in the wilderness, rejoicing in the victory over the enemy. Deborah sang, as she also had victory, leading the people of the army of Israel in victory as a judge. Yes, they sang, and you, when you read the scriptures, you'll note how, especially in the Old Testament, like Hannah, when Hannah, had Samuel, when she realized God had blessed her, we have Hannah's song. You go to the New Testament, you have Elizabeth's song, you have Zechariah's song, you have Mary's Magnificat, as well as Elizabeth Benedictus, and you have Simeon's song as he saw the Lord Christ. You have that song, as it is referred to in Latin, his Nunc Dimittis, as he was about to leave this life. He says, I can go now, Lord. That was a song. I can go now, Lord. I've seen your Christ. I've seen the Savior of Israel. And here they are singing. They are singing because of victory. Now, I'm sure you've had a song in your heart when you went experienced some victory in your life, haven't you? All of us. When the Lord, when you went out, you got a good catch. Got some real nice sizable gold nuggets, and you came in, you had a song on your heart, right? When you landed a good contract, don't tell me, don't say. Huh? Come on now. Oh yeah! We rejoice. It's easy to do that. I rejoice a lot. Brother Perry would know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like seeing a soul saved. When you preach the gospel and a person turns to Christ, let me tell you, there is a joy that you cannot express. We stay up late at night talking about it and praising God for seeing his hand of victory. We sing when we have victory. The millennial reign of Christ is going to be a reign of song. The celestial city in glory is going to be an eon of song. We even have it in chapters 5 and 7 of the book of Revelation. Singing, friends, songs in the night. That's a little bit. Oh yes, singing. Singing when it is big time, when we have victory, when we experience deliverance, as we have in the psalm, oh, that's easy. those songs in the night scene, the streets of difficulty. I went to see an old sister and brother in Savannah Sound some years ago. And as I approached the house, I saw the steps and I paused for a moment, because coming from the inside was the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." And the verse that never ceases to bless my heart is this: "When I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, friend, and I know that he is with me and will be with me to the end." She was singing that song. She had a husband that was bedridden. She had a daughter that the parents are all gone and the daughter's still alive. She's over 50. She had infantile paralysis at the age of 5 days. When she was 5 days old, and she's still alive, she's been an invalid, she's been a cripple, she can't talk, she can't do anything for herself all these years. And I heard this sister singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." How could she sing in such circumstances, friend? He giveth songs in the night, not only when there is victory, but also when difficulties come. David tells us about that. Songs in the night. Psalm 77 verse 6. Time and times of suffering. Paul and Silas remind us of that. Oh, they could have prayed. It would have been natural to pray. In those circumstances, when trouble comes, it's easy to pray. Oh, that's all we do, don't we? All we do when the crawfish is crawling good. By the way, I hope you have a proper crawfish. I really hope so. But I know you've had experience where they got rather scared. When you think of those three fields for that house, when you think of those fields for that boat, I know how you could be. Feel the night closing in on you. That's the time to sing. That's the time to let God know that, listen, I know things don't look too good, but my confidence is not in the sea. It's in God. Ah, beloved, that's the thing that makes us sing. When the cold hand of death comes in, or when sickness comes in, when things come that you can't handle, listen, that's the time to look to Jesus and be able to say, "We need to make the word of God relevant." Relevant, rest. To our every need, Paul and Silas sang. All in a singing. But your backs are bleeding. Your feet are in the stock. That's right. But we're singing. Just because, you see, he giveth song in the night. The Lord is my song. Have you ever wondered who started the song when they were about to leave the upper room? After the Lord Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, and they had broken bread and took the wine at the communion service, and just before then, Judas going out, and Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he knew that Gethsemane was just ahead, just prior to the experience of Calvary, and in between Gethsemane, or rather in between the experience in the upper room and Calvary, there was going to be a dark, dark war. The Bible said, when they had sung a hymn. Have you ever wondered about that? I wonder who raised the hymn. Now you know it says about the disciples, that their hearts were heavy. This is why Jesus said to them in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled, because they were deeply troubled. They realize now that he who said, I'm going to die, it's going to be a reality. What are we going to do? They were plunged in the valley of despair. But they sang a hymn. I want to believe Jesus started that way. I want to believe he's talking right on you. As he was about to go out, and they sang, maybe they didn't sing as lustily as he sang, but he led that chorus as they sang together. But he gave us all. In the night, the Lord doesn't leave us and things get up. I know you know what I'm saying, but this is the stir up your pure heart and way of repentance, because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. The Lord is my song and the experience of deliverance in the night season when there is oppression. Job talks about, he said, now here you are, my comfort, you're talking about everything except talking about the sound that God gives in the night. You're not talking about that, he says in chapter 35. How does God get? God gives song in the night. And of course these songs come forth because of our communion. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with Him, sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we have, I'm going to close, have the source of the song. Look at verse 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Speaking of its freshness, its ever pleasantness, abundance, and its freedom as it flows. Speaking of the source that is sufficient. He is my salvation vision. We had kind of time to develop these points, but we thank God for the fact that God is my, our salvation. He is our strength. He is our song. The Lord is my salvation that brings comfort to the soul. Verse 1. Thou comfortest me. This creates confidence in His sufficiency. Verse 2. And He has also become my salvation. It gives satisfaction of life. Verse 3. The wells of salvation. This promises hope for the future. Verse 4, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Speaks of God's promised hope for the future. And it motivates forgiveness. We have done the latter part of verse 4 and verse 6. God, He is my strength, my song, my salvation. May the Lord bless these few thoughts. Father, we live in difficult times. We believe the nearer we get to your coming, the more severe the testings, the temptation, the difficulties are going to be. Because we believe the enemy of our souls will try to cause discouragement to set in, lest we give him more trouble in our life, in our witness. But we pray that day by day we might be constantly aware that you are our strength, our song, our salvation. You have delivered us from Paul says, who will deliver us. And we trust thee for these promises. We know that you will be true. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for your many blessings upon this little community. And although they have had their times of tragedy and difficulty, yet, Lord, your hand of blessing has been incomparably demonstrated. And we thank you. We pray, and it has been prayed already this evening, that as the young men prepare for the crawfish season this year, that you would be with them and you will preserve and protect them. And those who work on the land, we pray, Lord, that you would just bless as only thou canst do. And in, Father God, the blessings of the material things of life, we pray that there might be, as it hath also been prayed, a great experience of another spiritual move by yourself that will envelop this entire island and those people who live on Russell Island who are not too much of churchgoers. We pray, Lord, that they too might be touched and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the meeting tonight. Thank you for the time to pray, the time to meditate. Dismiss us now, we pray, with your benediction. Take us to our homes and safe. Continue to remember those for whom special prayer was requested. Now and tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.